Welcome to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angeline Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. What happens physiologically and psychologically as we grow older? What is the role of an elder in our society? What does positive aging mean? What part does nutrition play in remaining fit and healthy? And why is it so important to remain active in our later years? Why do so many of our elders engage in music, art, dance, poetry? Can we start new careers in our 50s and 60s? What is the role of spirituality? And what does it mean to live a fulfilled life? All these questions and more will be answered by a panel of experts, including a professor of gerontology, medical doctors, an Ayurvedic doctor, a homeopath, a psychologist, dancers, writers, artists, teachers, healers, all of whom share a passion for life and a commitment to remain engaged with the younger generation. In this program, Tony Hughes talks about the negative impact of additive and overcooking. Dr. Eric Dilworth reminds us of the importance of water in our diet. Gabrielle Kirby shares the advantages of fasting and eating raw. And Dr. Don Brennan reminds us that if we have the right diet, we don't need medicine. And if we don't have the right diet, what use is medicine? This program will close with a guided meditation. I was wondering if you could tell us the importance of food and nutrition in remaining fit and healthy in your golden years.
It's vitally important that we eat well. And from my profession, of course, I've learned, have been studying foods and the effect of foods on our health for many years. And what I can say is that I try and eat as much whole food as possible, because the problem these days is so much food is destroyed in the manufacturing. The nutrients are destroyed, the foods are heated, they're leached, they add in preservatives, they add in other additives, which really erodes the value of these foods for health. Also must consider, and this is not very well understood, that food is living. Food has life. Food has a subtle life energy. And when the foods are overheated, overcooked, frozen, and particularly when they're treated to microwave ovens, this obliterates the life energy of the food. Apart from the nutritional and caloric value from the food, it destroys it. This was shown by some experiments with a kind of photography called curling photography. Basically, this shows the energy field around objects, living objects. If you photograph live food, it has this energy field around it. If you cook it, it is diminished a little bit. It's not too bad. But if you microwave it, it is obliterated completely, meaning that the actual life force is gone from that food. So it's important to try and take some raw food and whole food. Also, it's important to realize that since the introduction of large-scale farming, that people have been replacing nutrients in the soil with fertilizers. But these neutralizers don't have all the necessary trace nutrients. In times past, people used to do different crops in different years in the soils to keep changing the conditions. But now it's often repeated and repeated, and it's bolstered by this use of fertilizers. Some of which, I may add, I've been finding these days are actually toxic with various other pollutants which can affect the food. Organic food is best because you get trace minerals from it, which may otherwise be lacking. And of course, these trace minerals, along with the vitamins and the phytonutrients, are important for the body's metabolism. The body can't work. It's like an engine in many ways, and it needs these special nutrients. There's so much ill health these days that is related to our food. I am fit. I can run for a long distance, I cycle regularly, I can climb mountains, I go dancing a lot, I'm very active. I don't have any problem with weight. I put this down to the fact that I understand what is good and bad in our diet. On this point, I must emphasize that the use of oils for food cooking is not good. In these oils, there are very healthy and useful essential fatty acids, which are very important for us. But when they're heated, these essential fats are transformed into harmful trans fats, which block metabolism, block the passage of sugar to cell membranes, and generally interfere with the whole metabolism of essential fats. The kind of foods that I like to eat are plenty of fruits, especially grapefruit. It has a very good detoxifying effect, and grapes. Now, there's a very important principle with fruits and vegetables, and that is that they are alkaline foods. They have an alkaline residue. So even the citrus fruits, which are acidic, have an alkaline residue because the actual acid from the fruit is lost through the lungs in breathing. This alkalinity helps to detoxify the body on a daily basis. For those people who eat too much acid food, like too much protein, too much grains, they get a build-up of acid in their tissues, and this prevents the clearing on a daily basis of the various pollutants that are dissolved and lodged in our tissues. So I attach a lot of importance to this. I would eat fish. I prefer fish. I also eat a little bit occasionally of beef or lamb. Everything's in balance. I don't eat too much of any of these. I also eat chicken and turkey. But balance is the key in everything. I prefer to recommend that people get their vitamins and minerals from good food. That's the best way to do it. But I do take various specialized nutrients like vitamin D. I forgot to mention there is one important enzyme that I do take as a supplement. That is called serrapeptase. This enzyme breaks down plaque on the arteries and also stops inflammation in the body. It's very, very good.
You are what you eat. And what you eat is very important. You can start off with basically we're 70 to 90% of water. So the first thing is very important, the water that you drink. That has a great bearing on how acidic or how alkaline your body is. And I recommend, there's a water that I recommend is Kangen water. It makes your blood alkaline. It helps to detox your body, dispose of acidity, and it's like all diseases associated with acidity. So what makes the blood or the body more acidic is, first of all, acidic water, dairy, sugar, processed foods, meat, and they all lead to chronic disease, cancer, diabetes, arthritis. So if you want to stay healthy, stay alkaline. And to stay alkaline, you need to eat alkaline foods. And alkaline foods simply are what's green, vegetables, salads, fruit, good clean water like Kangen water, and you can live to be 120. Not a problem. Live healthy and well, disease free. Exercise is important as well in the state of your mind, and not to be stressed, to live a spiritual life. So it's really just to kind of observe life, stay centered, stay present, eat well, and you'll live in peace and happiness, and you'll live for a long life.
The reason why we eat raw is because a couple of the members were sick, and I was one of those. I had interstitial cystitis, which is a chronic inflammation of the bladder, and I went the medical way originally, but that didn't help. Everything just got worse, and the only alternative was to have major operations, which I didn't really want. I wanted to look around and find something that worked. So I discovered fasting. I went to a fasting center in California, and they did water only fasting, and I fasted there for 14 days. Before I went, I was in pain 24 hours a day. I couldn't walk, sit or stand. On my 10th day of fasting, all my pain went away. So over a period of 5 years, I did 7 fasts. It helped enormously with my diet and also with the diet in the community. We changed completely from dairy to non-dairy, from meat to vegetarian. Everything changed, like our energy levels went up, we lost weight, we looked and felt better, we had a huge amount of energy. The reason for doing raw food is that you don't need digestive enzyme. When you eat cooked food, there are no enzymes in cooked food, so it just lodges in your stomach and it takes a long time for it to pass through your system. Whereas raw food is full of enzymes and it's just so much healthier for you. That was one of the reasons why I went on raw food. Also from reading all the people who had healed themselves through doing wheatgrass juice and raw food. There was another member in our community, he had angina, and he also went raw and he fasted. And I'd say he got an extra 20 years of life through that because his angina was very, very bad.
What would you say would be the advantage of living in a community when you are on a special diet, like a raw food diet?
It is a challenge to stay raw and to make interesting meals for yourself. I'd say our meals are very regular, which helps a lot. And also, we always sit down for our meal and we always discuss something interesting.
Why do you take a shot of wheatgrass each morning?
When I was looking around for something to help my condition, I heard that wheatgrass juice helped people that had cancer. I got a book on wheatgrass juice and I read up about all the benefits, so I thought I'd try it out. And at that time I was in an awful lot of pain. And when I started taking the wheatgrass shot every day, all my pain went away.
You know, for all the antibiotics that are prescribed, all the analgesics, all the antipyretics, the simple process of maybe buying a few oranges, lemons, limes, some garlic, some ginger, and boiling it up. And it'll cure practically all upper respiratory tract infections. Wheatgrass is very, very high form of nutrition. It has iron, it's got all the minerals, all the vitamins in it, and you can juice it live. And one little thimbleful or one little shot of wheatgrass, the equivalent of 2.5 kilograms of fresh vegetables. Another wonderful drink is curly kale. It's got all the vitamins, all the minerals, all the live enzymes, and you can juice that raw with organic coconut water, and it's the most nutritious food you can take. So let's say if you're suffering, if you have had a bad diet, if you've had a very acidic diet and you have a chronic disease, maybe a cancer, maybe arthritis, you can empower yourself now and you can start on a raw food diet. You can start drinking your curly kale drink with organic coconut water or your wheatgrass, and taking your raw vegetables, and you can actually turn it around. You know, I mean, you can change your life from this moment. You can focus on feeding your brain, on lifting your energy. Yeah, and being very, very energized and very healthy.
Dr. Brennan, I was wondering if you could talk to us about the Ayurvedic perspective, about the importance of nutrition in a healthy diet, especially as we grow older.
In Ayurveda, there is a saying that if you have the right diet, you will never need medicines. And if you have not the right diet, what use are medicines? In other words, even with the best of medicines, you won't gain health unless you actually also take care of your nutrition. And so, from the Ayurveda perspective, your food is fundamental. That food will be transformed into your tissues. So Ayurveda looks at the food that you eat, and it also looks at your nature and recognizes what food suits you.
because if you have a very sluggish and slow nature, you need more spices and lighter foods like varieties of grains and pulses and vegetables, and not so much heavy foods. If you're a very fiery nature, you need foods like a summertime diet with more raw food, salads, fruits, juices. If you're a very active, hyperactive, thin, light, enthusiastic being, you need foods to ground you that are more substantial, more comforting sorts of foods like a nice rich rice pudding. So it's different foods for different folks. And it's not just the food, because you have to transform that in your body, and therefore you have to be wise to your digestion. And traditionally people sat to eat. They ate when they were hungry. They stopped when they'd had enough. And, you know, this we need to do again in order to get the best value out of the food through a good digestive system. Then in the Ayurveda, there was a whole science of rasayana. Rasayana was rejuvenation. There wasn't gerontology, like treatment of diseases of the elders. It was more how to maintain vitality and youthfulness at old age. So to maintain a balanced, vital, strong physiology was another aspect of the Ayurvedic tradition. So food can be medicine, can be the best medicine, and if appropriately used, there'll be no need of medicines.
Lead you into a guided meditation to relax the whole body, breathe into this moment and replenish. Take a moment now to give yourself an experience of deep relaxation. Sitting comfortably with your spine vertical, your shoulders soft, feeling the support of the chair beneath you and behind your back, resting your hands lightly on your laps, closing your eyes, allowing your eyes to relax into the sockets, and parting your lips just enough to release your jaws. Softening all the muscles of your face, especially widening and softening the space just above and between your eyebrows. Letting go of whatever it is that's happening in your life at the moment, and for the next few minutes, giving yourself an opportunity to totally release, relax, and let go. Paying attention to your body. Noticing how your body feels right now. Noticing the breath flowing in and out of your body. Notice whether you're breathing into your throat, into your chest, or is the breath reaching all the way down into your abdomen. Notice all the feelings and sensations in your body. For the next few minutes, give your mind an opportunity to rest and keep your awareness with the breath flowing in and out of your body, bringing the breath as deep as comfortable, allowing your breathing to soften and lengthen, feeling the support of the floor beneath your feet and relaxing your toes one by one. The sole of your feet, your heels, the top of your feet. Now bring your awareness to your ankles, relaxing your ankles, calves, the front of the leg, all the way to just below your knees. And bring your full awareness to your knees, allowing your knees to melt and relax with the breath, and moving through the knees into the thighs, softening all the muscles of your thighs, all the way to the top of your legs, and relaxing your legs out of the hip joints, bringing your awareness to the base of your spine, into your coccyx, and creating space for yourself right at the base of your spine, moving vertebra by vertebra into your sacrum, bringing a sense of softness and spaciousness into your sacrum, and moving up vertebra by vertebra, stretching the right side of your lower back to the right and the left side of your lower back to the left, and moving vertebra by vertebra, spending a little bit of time around the shoulder blades area and letting go of any tension that may have lodged in that area, and bring your full awareness to your shoulders and allow your shoulders to totally release, relax and let go. And as your shoulders are letting go, you too are letting go. Letting go whatever it is that's been happening over the last while. And also letting go of what may or may not happen over the next while. And bring yourself more fully into this present moment. Right here, right now. Continuing to keep your awareness with the breath. Breath flowing in and breath flowing out. Sliding along your upper arms, all the way to your elbows, and through your elbows into your forearms, all the way to your wrists, the back of your hands, all the way to the fingertips, and coming to rest in the palm of your hands, checking to make sure that from your fingertips to your shoulders, both arms are completely relaxed, then moving back into the spine, this time the cervical area of your spine, and relaxing your neck, letting go of any tension from your neck, and moving into the skull, releasing any tension from your head, and going right inside your brain and letting go of any thoughts that are preventing you from relaxing right now, softening the root of your hair, and sliding onto your forehead, widening and softening your forehead, allowing your eyes to relax into the sockets, softening your nose, your ears, softening your cheeks, your jaws, softening your chin, parting your lips to release your jaws, softening the inside of your mouth, your teeth, your tongue, and keeping the awareness with the breath flowing in and out through your nostrils, through your lips. You can nearly taste the breath. And become aware of the softness of the breath flowing inside your throat, softening your throat, your vocal cords. Keep allowing the breath deeper inside your body. And feel the breath flowing down into your chest, into your lungs. Feel your chest rising and falling with the breath. And see, can you be still enough to notice your heartbeat, the rhythm of your heart. Notice how it feels like in your heart. Breathe into your heart and let the breath move deeper, all the way down into your abdomen. Feeling your abdomen expanding as you breathe in and releasing as you breathe out. Massaging all the internal organs with the breath. Becoming aware that with each new breath, you breathe in energy, vitality, strength. And with each out-breath, you are letting go. Whatever happened before this moment is gone. And whatever may or may not happen after this moment, we don't know. See, can we allow ourselves to be present? In this moment, right here, right now, letting yourself breathe into this moment, and allowing yourself to feel the magic of your body, this wonderful body who has been carrying for all these years, and allow yourself to feel that life force flowing through your whole body, your own energy. And as you breathe in more of that life force, more of that energy, and you let it spread to your whole body. Your whole body re-energizing, revitalizing with each new breath. And with each out-breath, you are freeing yourself from all stress, all anxiety, all confusion, all fear. Each out-breath, letting go. Becoming more and more at ease, more and more peaceful with each new breath. Slowly, begin to allow yourself to return to an awareness of the sounds around you, the position of your body. Allow your body to stretch, and when you feel ready, open your eyes to a new moment. You were listening to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angeline Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. This program featured Anthony Hughes, Dr. Eric Dilworth, Gabrielle Kirby, and Dr. Don Brennan. The music on this program is from Seamus Byrne, and you can find out more about his music on www.brotherseamus.ie. If you want to get in touch with any of the contributors, you can contact us through www.springintolife.ie. Tune in again next week to find out about new career, new beginnings.